Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about phishing attacks. Yes, you've heard about phishing attacks. There's no mystery that phishing attacks are continue to be on the rise. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about specifically is an event that happened to Ken and I early last week, whenever it was. And as security researchers, of course, we have to take and play with all that, right? We want to constantly be looking at the best and the brightest attacks that are out there. And this one was fantastic. I mean, unbelievably surprising. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about how artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, large language models are really starting to make some of these attacks that much more difficult to defend, to detect, and to let people know what's going on. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it on to Ken. Ken is going to give us a précis of what happened and why it was so kind of shocking. So Ken, take it away.
Yeah. So, you know, and I obviously won't divulge all the details on this, but needless to say, the attacker on this, they definitely did their homework. So they apparently, you know, found my information online and they researched who I worked for, and they researched to the point that they found the email address for a member of our financial department here at EMA,
and then, yeah, you're leaving things out.
Yeah,
right?
You didn't
include the fact that they actually went so far as to include your titles,
right,
and so on
and
so forth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I was trying
to interrupt your story, but I mean, it was amazingly impressive the amount of detail they had.
So they then they send this email to our member of the finance team it's from a Gmail account, but the Gmail account is set up under my name, okay, Ken Buckler, and then that actually had in the signature of the email, basically almost identical to the signature I typically use for EMA, and that include, you know, name, title, that I worked for EMA. And the email actually said basically to the effect of, hey, I made some changes to my bank account. What do you need for me to change the bank account for my direct deposit before the next upcoming paycheck? Thank goodness our you know, finance department is on top of the game, and, you know, big shout out to them, because they immediately saw that, you know, oh, hey, this is fake, forwarded it to me and said, hey, this isn't you, is it? Like, no, that's not me. It was pretty impressive, because it looked like it was from me. I did a double take when I read the email until I saw that, okay, well, that's not my Gmail account. Okay, cool. Other than that, I mean, it looked very convincing. And I think that's really interesting that, you know, somebody did all the research they needed to on that, just to craft that single email to try to steal my paycheck. I'm assuming I was the only one that was, you know, they tried that with, because I didn't see anybody else mention that, oh, you know, hey, you know, had something similar with other employees. So it's very interesting that, you know, they specifically targeted a single person at a small company.
Let's unpack some of that a little bit. So as far as I know, nobody else was targeted either. So you're very special, which we all knew that, right? Second of all, if you are a bad guy out there, and you're deciding that you're going to attack a security researcher, then you deserve all the publicity you're going to get, right? And I am happy to tell you, one, that it didn't work, but two, that please don't attack security researchers because we're going to make fun of you publicly because that's just how it's going to be.
Please, please, I'm not inviting attack security researchers so we can make fun of you publicly.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not inviting attacks, but at the same time, I mean, I'm glad that you're doing it with us because we have the wherewithal to be able to deal with it, whereas somebody else may not. I found it fascinating, and this is kind of the direction that I want to take this, how much detail they were able to harvest, find, whatever have you. And it's not like we aren't public people. I understand that too. But I was just really shocked at how much detail they were able to find. And I wonder, and this is the where I want to go, I wonder how much of that you can take and use some of the bots and AI solutions that are out there today to harvest some of those sort of details, email addresses, whatever have you, because this was extremely detailed. And usually when you had the Prince Nigeria attacks and, you know, you have to take and give me some money to release these funds, everybody kind of eventually knew that, you know, they were a bunch of junk and you moved on, so on and so forth. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who is seemingly asking a legitimate question, not really asking for direct personal information, but really wanting to understand, you know, and do a multi-step, multi-phased attack in an environment. A lot of it has to be automated because, again, it's very person intensive if that's how it's going to be. So it leads me to wonder, how are the bots and such out there working? And, you know, if this is just the beginning of these kind of attacks, where is that going to lead us?
Well, and let's not forget, this is not the first attack that we've had where they actually targeted me. You know, the first one was I get a text message on my personal cell phone, which is not public, by the way, from somebody pretending to be the COO of EMA, calling out the COO by his name, saying, I'm this person, and proceeding to ask me to go get some Amazon gift cards to present to a client. So it's kind of scary how much, you know, some of these attackers are doing their research. But yeah, I agree. You know, I definitely think that, you know, probably with AI, you've got AI going out there and scraping the internet, and it's able to put all this stuff together now, especially like Google's AI, Gemini, which replaced Bard. I think that, you know, some of those really do have the potential for severe abuse to be able to, you know, to put together stuff like this. But, you know, once again, the AI itself is not inherently evil. It's just the whole, it's how it's used, just like any other tool.
Well, and the moral to this story, and again, the purpose of this podcast is not to scare the crap out of people. You should be to a degree, but that isn't really it. It's trying to make people aware of how these changes are so coming so quickly. It's very, very difficult for your email security solutions and AI detection solutions to really keep up. They're working on it. I mean, that isn't a shot at any of those companies. Some of those companies are literally the best that there are out there. My point in sharing that is that keep in mind when you are seeing an email and it just gives you a weird tingle that it might not be the right thing or something weird might be there, it is appropriate, especially in this day and age, to verify. I would expect that Ken reports to me. I would expect that if I sent an email to Ken and it was completely out in left field as to go do this instead of that, I would assume that Ken would follow up and say, are you sure that you sent that, or call me directly or whatever have you. We converse multiple times every day. He knows my speech patterns. He knows my email, so on and so forth. But even then, all that stuff can be duplicated. So the whole idea, and I'm not trying to have a zero trust conversation here, but the idea that you trust but verify, or verify and trust no one, that's kind of where this is coming to. And things that you think are automatic that you should be able to trust, I'm here to tell you, you probably can't. And again, the last thing I would share with you, and then Ken, you can give us some final words, is that email is never really a secure methodology to do anything. We use email a great deal for a lot of different things, arguably things we probably shouldn't use it for. That can be another conversation for another day. But email is an unbelievably simple way to spoof things. And with tax season coming up, it's right around the corner. We'll talk about that a little bit more too on a future podcast. But with tax season coming up, the IRS is not going to send you an email asking about your taxes. They're going to send you a certified letter. And there are 100 other instances that we can get into as to why email is not a secure methodology for anything. But on the day-to-day correspondence, kind of like this one, maybe it makes sense. But when you're talking about financial information, your personal information, maybe it's worthwhile to take a minute and verify that that email was legitimate and to verify the sender. Ken, did you have any final thoughts about this?
Yeah, you know, one of the other things that's interesting, you know, sometimes it might not even necessarily be something financial related. You know, so in this case, you know, we talked about, you know, the whole Amazon gift cards or trying to switch over a bank account to wire me or to send my paycheck to someone else. But, you know, one of the things I've actually heard about, and I haven't seen this yet, but I've heard about is, you know, actually a company reaching out to specifically like a firm like us saying, hey, you know, this is your boss, blah, blah, blah. I need you to research this topic for me and send the data back. And now, you know, that might be an innocent request, but now you've got somebody else working for you for free. And so, you know, and if, especially if it's like competitive intelligence or proprietary data, now you've got a problem where you've got data leakage. So that it's definitely something to keep in your mind that these kind of attacks might not always even be financial in nature. They might just be after some sort of data.
Yeah, I think we'll leave it with that. The moral of the story is please pay attention, you know, keep your alert up. Don't really trust email. Email is not a secure method for anything. And we'll all live happily ever after. This is not the last time we're going to talk about this. We've already talked about it once before. We're going to continue talking about it some more later. But keep that in mind. Stay safe out there. I hope this has been useful for you today. If you have any questions about this podcast or future podcasts, always feel free to contact us. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.